at times is becoming farcical, and you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
I want to say a very special welcome back to our next guest. Luke Keeney is with us. Luke, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, boys. How are we?
Where are you?
I am in Oris, which is about 20 minutes south of Lisbon in Portugal, at the World Offshore Championships.
Right. Official business representing your country.
That's correct, yeah. So I'm out here now about nearly 2 weeks total, but we flew in last Tuesday. So I suppose we've been kind of climatised now and enjoying the weather and soaking in the sunshine. So it's not too bad.
Tell us what it is. So you're rowing for Ireland in the offshore. Well, I've never heard of these until we actually were following you going, hang on a second, what is this?
Yeah, so I'll just give a quick breakdown. So last week, there was four crews selected to represent Ireland at the World Beach Sprints. So I was part of a mixed squad with my partner, Rosie Temple from Donegal Town. And then we were in a boat with two people from Arklow and the Cox from Kerry. So we had qualified to represent Ireland at the Beach Sprints. So the best way to describe it is... you have the boat in the water and the cox has to sprint down and jump into the boat, slalom out to a course and then jump out of the boat and run up. So we had qualifying last Thursday and then we kind of were seeded as fifth out of 12 nations. So you have countries from all around the world, you have Olympic athletes, you have, you know, there's guys there that have traveled from Saudi, the United States, spent 3 weeks in a training camp. And then, obviously, there was like a time trial, like a repertoire. So we were paired with Sweden. Now, we did really well. We were beating them on the water. But then just on the dismount, we kind of had a fall, which kind of led us to finish fifth and in the quarterfinal and miss out for a chance to probably win maybe a bronze medal because we would fancy our chances against the States. So that was last weekend. And now this weekend is the actual Coastal Champs. So this is like a 4K course where my partner Rosie, she's from Donegal, we qualified and then are seated as third in the mixed doubles. So there's 42 crews and we're out tomorrow morning at 12 o'clock in the heat.
Right. Wow. This is an unbelievable comeback, Luke, because last time we were talking to you was in the aftermath of essentially your recovery, but like it was about your hip replacement, and it never really sounded like you were going to be able to scratch the competitive urge that had led you to play football for Donegal.
Yeah, totally. Like, I suppose I kind of had to fill that void, and that was something, you know, that took many years. And I was lucky that my coach back in Donegal, Patrick Brady, who would have kind of seen me doing all my rehab, pulled me aside and just said, look, was I interested? Little did I know I'd be selected to row for Ireland and been, you know, here in Portugal 2 or 3 years later competing against the world's best. So, look, it's just, I suppose, it's all about putting your head down and hard work. And don't get me wrong, there's been plenty of dark days and there's been, you know, a lot of tears and, you know, of joy and of kind of hardship because I'm still dealing with the loss of the identity of a footballer. And, you know, I suppose this now new outlet is giving me the, probably the, you know, where I can channel all my energy and focus. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're rowing for Ireland and, you know, even your identity and you're a rower now and the kind of football days are kind of long gone, I suppose.
Is that an instant thing, Luke, as soon as you get into the boat? Are you like, I'm hooked on this immediately?
Not really, Owen. Like, it's, I suppose, like, coastal rowing is just such a unique sport that you have world champions, Olympic champions. You know, you have kind of like there on Sunday after the beach sprints, we're sitting around talking to guys who'd won silver in Tokyo and, you know, guys who have won world championships. So it's a very unique sport that you can mix with the best. And I suppose it's something that kind of appealed to me. You know, I was always very driven and I kind of always wanted to, you know, get over that hurdle of, right, my football's finished, that door's closed. But, you know, there's the skills element, and there was a lot of hard work done, you know, in Donegal with Rosie and Patrick to get to this level, because I suppose the standards at the World Championships, you know, the actual Olympic president back, I can't remember his first name, came out there last week and said that, you know, Coastal Champs are going to be at the LA Games. So now all of a sudden, you know, there's going to be Olympic funding. There's going to be, you know, a complete switch, you know, in terms of the structures in the next number of years, which is very exciting, because I suppose in Ireland, you know, we have such exciting rowers. You know, there's a lot of river rowers here this weekend, and it just shows where the sport's going, you know.
It's mad. It's a completely mad second act. Do you pinch yourself sometimes and go, Jesus, this is all a bit mad?
Yeah, to be honest, Jerry, I just take it one step at a time. You know, like, I still remember them dark days. You know, I still remember not being able to walk. I still remember, like, learning how to, you know, squat correctly. You know, like, that doesn't go away. You know, you don't, them scars are still there in the back. But, like, I suppose this is a new lease of life. It's something that I can, you know, throw everything I have into it. You know, and I don't know where it's going to take me. It's just part of the journey, you know, and it's just, I kind of look at, you know, take it one step at a time. And as I said, it's a bit disbelief to say, right, you know, 3 years, well, it was actually yesterday, 4 years ago, I had my second last operation in Coventry. So from 4 years' time to be sitting, you know, 24 hours out from a heat in the World Championships, if you had said that to me now, you know, I would have bit your arm off.
Come here, what's the actual hip like now? Are you conscious of it on a day-to-day basis? Is there, Roy Keane used to talk about in the week of a big match, he'd just get an out ache. The body would be telling him something big is coming. Is there any aspect of that for you?
No, not to be honest, like, as I said, like, I've had 5 operations in total. And, like, because it's non-weight-bearing, I suppose it's completely different. Like, whenever I was playing football, it was the twist and turning. You know, but I suppose a lot of hard work's gone in. You know, I've been training equally, maybe 7 times a week, if not 8. You know, I took on a strength conditioner there in January when we kind of had a focus to go to the Worlds. You know, he carried out my schedule to this date. You know, a guy over in the UK called Paul Parker. I have my coach back in Donegal, Patrick Brady. So, like, there's a lot of hard work gone into that, but the joints is better than ever. You know, I have no pain, and that's all down to the surgeon, Professor Griffin, and then my physio, Tommy Gallagher, getting me to this level. You know, I feel physically in the best shape of my life, which is hard to believe, gone through all that. But, you know, you're in a boat where there's no actual impact through the joint, if that makes sense. But at the same time, you're still competing against the world's best. So, you know, I say this time in 2 or 3 days after the, hopefully we're in a final on Saturday, the rest of the body will be hurting just as much, you know.
I think what you're describing now, Luke, suggests just how grim a story this was for you, because for a lot of people, I suspect that actually just getting back to compete at some level would have scratched their itch. But for you, it definitely seems that you need to be doing something 8 times a week. You need to be a high performance athlete as much as possible. So 4 years ago when that surgery happens and that looks like an impossibility, that just rubs salt into the wound completely at that moment, I suspect.
Yeah, and like don't get me wrong, when I was in a dark place, you know, there was a lot of, you know, questions to be answered, and like you're there, you know, not fit to walk, trying to figure out where your life's going. And I suppose like say there, my mum, she battled cancer and she ended up running a marathon 8 months later and like raised 10,000. You know, yes, all my football career, all them doors closed, but I wasn't ill. I had a life-threatening illness, and that kind of inspired me to say, right, now go and, you know, write a new chapter in your life. And I suppose just with the desire and the focus and hard work, and I suppose I kind of have that burning desire to compete, and I wasn't going to let this hold me back. You know, like, there's top athletes, you know, you look at Sean O'Brien, say there, who's playing for London Irish, or you know, Andy Murray, they've had the same operation. You know, Jack McGrath, I've spoken to him, he's had the same operation. You know, I would love to be in a situation where I was a professional athlete and I could actually push my body to the limit and see if I could get back to that. I've done that now in a different sport and, you know, I'm excelling and I'm doing my best for my club and country. And I'm just kind of, not to say it's a pun, but I'm riding the crest of a wave at the minute and I don't know where it's going to take me, but just excited to compete tomorrow and just do my best.
And can I just take you back to when you get into the boat and they're like, oh, would you be interested in this? When do you realise that actually you're not bad at this and the times that you're doing are really good? What's that like?
Yeah, I suppose like at the start, there's the whole learning curve because it is such a technical sport. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's there's so many elements you have to learn. So I suppose the first year and a half, it was getting to that stage. But, you know, a lot of that's down to my partner, Rosie. You know, she allows me to push them boundaries. To be honest, I kind of focused on like supposed to targets. Like with rowing, you can actually see what the physical needs are in terms of like air times and just competing. Like this year, we had maybe four or five races, you know. So about 3 weeks ago, we raced in the national champs in Bantry, and there's two Olympians in a race, Monica Driscoll and Ronan Byrne. And, you know, we kind of had, for the first, you know, kilometre or two, were, you know, trying to stay with them. So physically, myself and Rosie are thereabouts. I never kind of questioned that whole physical side, you know, because I know, say, my VO2 output is quite decent. That, you know, I know from my days of playing football, you know, my fitness level was always something that kind of stood to me and strength. It's more the actual, you know, because there's steering needed, there is the technical side. So I had to learn all that. But again, it's like anything in life. You put your head down, you work hard enough, you don't know where it could take you. So that's kind of been my outlook.
Where was there a point along the way where you went, geez, we're good at this?
Well, we 2 years ago at the National Champs in Port McGee, we kind of won gold, myself and my partner, Paddy McGlynn. And then it was just, I suppose, over the last year, just getting more races. We went to Italy last year, myself and Rosie. And, you know, we got to actually see firsthand, like we raced two Ukrainians that were world champions. You know, so you get to see the standard. And then I suppose with every race, you gain confidence. You know, and the fact that physiologically we're thereabouts with the top athletes, it's just down to navigation and the skill side, and you can work on that, and that's down to your coaching and, you know, just kind of getting as many races in. You know, the coastal champs, there was four or five this year, you know, so we had a lot of traveling. We had to go to Kerry twice, we had to go to Arklow. So the more experience, but again, I'm still a complete novice and I'm, you know, on the world stage, and hopefully, you know, last week was competing against the Swedish high performance team and, you know, mixing it with the top athletes. And it just shows, you know, where Ireland is. You know, we actually, this weekend coming, have 36 crews. So we, as a nation, we have the most representation, you know, which is remarkable for such a small island. Just shows the love and the kind of passion people have for the sport, you know.
Luke, you're only going to be 36 when the LA Games roll around, just saying.
That's quite mad.
Is it something that you've half thought about at all? I know it's not even in the games just yet, so it does seem like you've got to do a bit of mathematics there, but surely when you hear it mentioned, you're like, that doesn't sound bad.
Well, I suppose it was meant, there was talk it was going to be in the Paris Games, but then just at Christmas, because of COVID and the lack of funding, the French Federation couldn't make it happen, because obviously, would it been offshore, it would have to be down in Marseille. But look, like we were chatting to the US team and they're on about setting up two centres of excellence, you know, for this sport. And like you can imagine, in, like it being in the States, there's going to be a massive drive for it. For me personally, I don't really know. Like I suppose I kind of just keep the head down and keep training. You know, I'd say in the next probably 3 to 4 years, you know, the high performance team, you know, with Rowan Ireland are going to have to start doing talent identification, and there's going to be, you know, probably like say next year, the qualification process to go to the beach sprints. There's like this year, there was a lot of, you know, river rowers crossing over, maybe guys that didn't get picked to go to the Olympics. So that, you know, now all of a sudden you can see, like, there's, I think at the minute there's three Olympians, you know, there's under 23 world athletes all over here from Ireland. So the sport's only going to keep growing and growing, you know, and there's, I suppose, with Rowan Ireland, you know, they continue to support the coastal side of it. But now when it becomes, hopefully, Olympic sport, you know, it's going to be the funding and the, you know, the high performance training and the actual, like, grants, all that there is going to have to be trashed out of sports. So that's kind of exciting. Do I know where that's going to take me? Not really, but I'll just kind of keep working and, you know, never say never.
Yeah, I know that the Donegal jersey meant so much to you. You know, it's a family connection. It's obviously something you dreamed of your whole life, and you'd been in it essentially as a teenager all the way up to the senior team. What was it actually like the first time you put on the Ireland singlet?
It's a great question. It's mad, to be honest. You know, my brother, he's representing Ireland on red soccer, and my sister as well. So even just seeing that, but just, you know, immense pride, you know, and like, I hope my, you know, my story, I suppose, can inspire other athletes and other people in all walks of life. You know, like, I was able to fill that void. You know, I'm still learning, I'm still progressing in a new sport. But like, that, I suppose, focus and determination to, you know, to write a new chapter, to prove people, to say, oh, you're never going to get back to that level. That was in the back of my head, and that kind of fueled me. And just, you know, a bit of satisfaction, I suppose, being ultra competitive, you know, the result didn't go well. So I'd love to, you know, to have another chance at it. But, you know, I have, you know, tomorrow and hopefully Saturday to put last weekend's wrongs right. And, you know, just, I suppose, keep flying the flag for Donegal and for Coastal Rowan and Ireland. So I can maximise our potential tomorrow, and then hopefully get into the final, I'll be quite happy.
We'd pretty much decided a month ago that the greatest comeback story in the history of Irish sport was the Meath women's football team, who were hockeyed by 40 points by Cork in a league match to beat them in the semi-finals. But it looks like they have a rival when you, Rowan for Ireland, haven't made the comeback you made from your injury. Luke, it's been brilliant catching up with you. We wish you the whole best of luck this week. Don't think you need too much luck. Just go out there and do it. Thanks a million, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
It's Luke Keeney there. That is an incredible story.
Absolutely incredible. It's, I guess, when you're in those moments, I suspect anyway, it's just so incredibly hard to think about even getting back to some sort of normal life. And I would imagine that even imagining the idea of high level of performance again is just unthinkable. So to be able to do it in an entirely different sport and representing your country is bonkers, quite frankly. And I need to go to a Coastal Rowing event, by the way.
It sounds amazing. That beach sprint sounds unbelievable.
I'd say it's not for the faint-hearted to be in one of those boats, but from a spectator standpoint,
it's made for TV as well. And so listening to that, do you feel great now that you're not doing the triathlon with us? Do you feel like, I should definitely be coasting on my now perfectly fine wrist. If only I could pump the tire up on my bike.
Yeah, if only. Next year.
It's not too late, Owen.
When is it?
We had the race director on. It's 10 days away.
Nice one.
None of us have done any training, as you could see from various TikTok yesterday.
You're the sort of, I haven't studied for my exams to come out with 625 points. So tell us honestly, what's the training been like?
The training has not been great, Owen. I'm not going to lie to you. I used the excuse of it being a bit wet out last night not to cycle into work today.
I mean,
I woke up this morning, I was like, geez, it's a bit dry. I could probably have got away with cycling and then didn't.
But there is always tomorrow.
It's not too late. Come on, do it. Inspired by Luke Keeney.
Yeah, well, I think that we're operating off a different VO2 max.
At times it's becoming farcical, and you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.